flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, unfortunately, if the science in my lead this morning is accurate, some in Gen Z may need a little help when it comes to putting the lights on. Last lead this morning, and then we will get to they said it at 7. But researchers have just completed a survey of 2,000 grown-ups, every demographic of grown-up. And sadly, they have found that nearly 25% of Gen Zers do not know how to change a light bulb.
Mm.
Wow.
This concerns me. We need light when it comes to our daily tasks or, in the case of A.J. Brown and others, to reading and to interacting with other people.
What? Can't change a light bulb?
Yes.
A monkey can change a light bulb.
This was shocking to me. There was a lot of anxiety that they expressed during this survey. Many were concerned that they would have to use a ladder, and they had some anxiety about using a ladder because they have never used a ladder. And 1 in 5 of Gen Z were worried that the bulb would be too hot to change.
Can we be honest, please? When was the last time Greg Hill changed the light bulb?
I do it all the time,
Chris. That is such nonsense.
What do you think? You were talking
to your super yesterday about a drippy toilet flipping out. You had 16 guys in your condo.
I changed one right before the holidays in our kitchen.
You did?
Yes. Okay. It didn't work.
Were you tired at the end?
No, it didn't work. Okay. It's more of an electric issue that our building needs to fix now. But you can't turn the light on for quite some time. Let it cool down. Take it off. Put another one in. Make sure you have the right voltage.
you mean the right watt?
Same thing.
So there, one of the researchers suggested that when it comes to Gen Z, so much of their lives has been automized, convenient, and outsourced that they don't have any idea how to do normal tasks like this, like changing a light bulb.
Old man yelling at cloud, I have a question.
Yes, yes.
If you grew up with a phone that had a flashlight on it, would you worry about where your flashlight was?
No.
No,
you're right. I need to just accept that the younger generation is different and they don't need light bulbs.
Yeah, but
if you drive your car without a stick shift, are you a loser?
Yeah, but this should be somebody.
Oh, these kids these days, they hit a button and their window goes up.
Like, I would guess, like, my kids are Gen Zers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I taught them how to change a light bulb. There are, like, certain things, like, you should know how to do. Nobody's asking you to how to, you know, fix a toilet.
Or, like, change a tire. I don't know how to do that.
Well, they're 1 in 1,000 millennials apparently can't change a tire. We learned that with Chris Curtis.
Yeah. And, and I learned from your buddy that you had to call AAA yourself.
Yeah, so.
Fraudulent.
I mean, I get, like, things like, all right, the change. Like, even the change in the tire thing, maybe, you know, they're like, where do I put the jack? Like, I get it. Maybe you get somebody.
Also, I hate to do this, but Greg was asking me and Wiggy about, like, his toilet won't stop running yesterday and what that could mean.
Did you hear Curtis just talk about that?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah, he did. It's all right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there are.
But that's a plumbing issue, though.
I swear to God, I didn't hear a single thing about a toilet.
I turned myself out.
Not one.
How did you miss that whole part?
I don't know. I didn't hear a single word about a toilet.
It's all right.
My concern. I was called during the program by the fine people at Echelon, and there was a drip that they had identified in the building.
Ken was there?
And they were concerned that it might have been my toilet.
Right.
So I was.
But that's a legit
concern
thing.
For others.
Yeah, that's a legit thing. That's a plumbing issue. You might not know, but changing a light bulb, I mean, that's something that we should all be. That's like saying, hey, Can you change batteries or put batteries into something? You should be able to do that.
This is Paul from North Attleboro. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Greg. How you guys doing?
What's up?
The kids these days, back in World War II, they would drop a Jeep out of an airplane in a box. The thing would hit the ground, and the men would have 5 minutes to put that Jeep together and have that thing drive away, and kids can't even change a tire.
It's different now, Paul.
We used to build pyramids.
Blame us. We're the ones that have been coddling these Gen Zers, aren't we? The parents haven't shown them how to change a light bulb.
5 years ago, we were in Fort Myers trying to go home. Greg was going home a different day. I logged him onto JetBlue, and you would have thought I got a 1600 on the SATs. he was like, "Wow, you could print the boarding pass."
Yeah.
Yeah, I always have Julia do those things for me. Like, Julia's like, "Dad, do you want me to check you in at the airport?"
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that'd be great."
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Just do it on your phone.
On the app.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you put the ticket in your wallet. It's great.
So easy.
So easy. Well, you don't like learning about technology either.
Because I, really
I set up your computers every day, and you watch me do it.
No. Funny thing, I like doing things for myself.
Well,
I don't overly rely.
I just
on
technically, gave an example.
Technically, you're not doing it for yourself. So, Courtney, the Gen Zers could be like, "Yeah, I might know how to change a light bulb, but you can't check in on your phone."
Right.
Correct. Yeah, they would. That's what they would say. I mean, there's always differences in the generations. So, like I said at the start, I'm not beating up on Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's alarming that 1 in 4 of you, you Gen Zers, don't know how to change a light bulb. If you'd like, we could give you a tutorial.
Very easy.
It's very simple. You grab onto the top of the light bulb.
Yep.
You screw in the left direction.
Yes.
Save that drop.
Lefty loosey.
And remove it.
Yep.
And then you just put the other one in, screw in the right direction.
Make sure you let them know to shut the light off first, because they'll be like, the lights are still on. They're like, make sure you tell them that.
Shut the lights off first. I have an idea, Greg.
Yes.
Some kind of generational Olympics where people your age do tasks that young people do, and young people do your tasks.
Yeah. I think that would be great. We should do that at a road show or two, something like that.
Ooh, we should have a task at each road show for an oldie and a youngin. Yes.
I would think that the youngins would win that one because it's a lot easier to figure out and learn without nobody telling you how to change a light bulb for a young person than it is for an old person to figure out how to check in online and put it in their wallet.
What was the game we played where Courtney had to identify the objects?
Oh, that was that
boomer game.
Well, we did ask a boomer, but we also did. You had to identify 5 or 7 objects from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. It was leading up to Christmas, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah, because you had it wrapped. Yeah. And
this,
bring that back.
This is Brendan from Rhode Island. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
The problem with that younger generation is they don't even know how to read a clock with hands on it.
That is true.
That is true.
That is something that's gone. Is the standard.
And if you say to them like quarter, they don't know what quarter past five means.
Oh, that is true.
That is true.
But who says?
Right. But are people still saying meet me at a quarter past
no,
five?
I don't believe so.
Try going to London and they say like half seven.
They do. Yes, they do.
Yeah. I actually live there.
Yeah. Nobody's saying, hey, let's grab dinner or a drink and we'll do it at half past seven.
Yeah, or quarter to eight. No. I mean, I get the clock thing because I couldn't tell you. And isn't it big in Europe, Curtis? You probably know better than anybody. Don't they like military time over there?
So it goes all the way to 24.
Yeah.
So like you'll see a clock. It'll say, you know, if you're going to dinner at 9, it's 21.
Yeah. Ooh. So I don't. I'm very poor when it comes to reading military time. Right.
This is Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. There's a lot more on the list, Greg. I heard it yesterday.
Yeah.
It's hanging a picture. They don't know how to hang a picture. Washing a car. Wait a minute. Washing a car, starting at the top to the bottom, detailing the inside, or raking a lawn. Because their parents have landscapers. They go to a car wash.
Right.
They have a carpenter to come in and hang their pictures. So the father's not teaching the kids how to. I mean, it's amazing. I saw these kids raking a lawn a couple summers ago and doing a car wash thing. And the parents are telling me they were raking with the rake up the wrong way, with the points standing up in the air.
No, it was hilarious.
I believe that.
Thanks, guys.
Wait, but Bob, those are actually on the list. I didn't see the whole list.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. All right, so.
And then they're like, I can't get all the leaves. I don't know what's wrong.
I think it's selfish to do those things yourself. You're preventing somebody from getting a job.
That is true.
Hey, this is Edith, and I live. And I'm concerned about using leaf blowers right now because, you know, we go out and we stay 6 feet away from each other and we wear masks. And then a leaf blower can disperse the coronavirus for way more than 6 feet. And it's probably not a safe thing to be doing at this time. So I didn't know whether you guys had thought about this. It may not even be safe. Probably not for your workers either. So maybe they could use rakes until this crisis is over. Thank you very much.
She's worried about the workers.
Oh, that man. Poor woman.
Yeah. She was very kind in the message, though.
Oh, it was. Poor
maybe
thing.
They could use rakes until this crisis is over.
Right, when this is over.
Imagine driving around during the pandemic and seeing some guys who are actually out trying to earn their money raking a lawn and using a leaf blower and losing your mind over it.
Oh, man.
Like, with concern for them.
Well, if they were Gen Zers, they wouldn't be able to use the rakes.
Right, because they're outside breathing the healthy air and trying to leaf blow, and they're worried about dispersing the COVID.
We are so easily fooled as a people.
I know, it's really
unbelievable. People who were so certain of something they had no clue about.
I love Edith. I hope she's. Is Edith still with us? I hope she is.
She didn't sound that old.
Her name is Edith.
I know, but right. I didn't think she sounded that old. I thought that she sounded like maybe in her 50s, like your age.
May not even be safe. Probably not for your workers, even.
I don't think so, Courtney.
I hope Edith is doing well.
Thanks for the call, Karen. Here's Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. I was like talking to a coworker of mine who's about 18 years old, and she's like, you know, I came up with this great invention. It's like a phone that you put in your house, and like the whole family can use it. And like it's like a phone it's like one phone that sits there in the house, and it would be great. Everybody could use the same phone. You wouldn't have to like get, you know, everybody text each other on. Yeah. I was like. That's a landline.
Yeah, a lot of kids probably don't know because how many people even have landlines no more?
I don't. Can you still get a landline?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My grandparents have one.
Yeah. Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Yeah,
really?
So, like, when I call them, I mean, my grandmother has a cell phone as well, mm-hmm. but I never call her on her
you
cell phone.
You call on the landline?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it take 30 rings for them to...
Yeah, sometimes.
And it just keeps ringing?
Yeah, and you never know who's going to answer.
Right.
It's kind of fun.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are certain security companies that you need to have a landline for, but I think that's their only use.
What do you mean security?
Like ADT or other places, like you have to have
so
a landline.
You still have to have a landline in your home,
but
actually.
There was one of these, maybe it was related to your lead, but they had people trying to use a rotary phone. There was like a YouTube about it. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, they had no clue.
They were like eating it.
They would have a hard time doing that.
This is Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Greg, this is old Jamaica Jeff, your old good buddy. How you doing, bud?
How are you?
So, great. Listen, speaking of your toilet issues with Gen Zers, when I had the restaurant, you know, obviously I had to lose it because of COVID, because we all know how that went. But when I had the restaurant, the bunch of Gen Zers were having a party after COVID when we had reopened just for a little bit. And somebody comes out and says, hey, the toilet didn't flush. So I go in there and, you know, I'm the owner and the plumber. I get the toilet working. About a minute later, 2 minutes later, somebody else comes in and says, hey, the toilet doesn't flush. So what the hell? So I go back in and I do it again. This happened like three times. I end up getting it working. Next day, call a plumber. The plumber comes. The toilet's fine. You know what we realized? These Gen Zers are used to taking a whiz and walking away from the toilet and it flushes itself.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
So literally, here I am. I've gone in there three times during a private party, got my hands literally in the you-know-what, called a plumber for $90 an hour, and the guy's like, tell him to push the lever. Yeah. Well, anyway.
That is true.
To be fair, on the Subaru of New England text line, a texter says, every day almost I have to help somebody your age, Greg, who doesn't know how to pay a parking meter through the app.
And good they point. Are so
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That is a good
Where's
point.
Where's the quarter slot? Right. I just want to put my coins in.
All right. That is a good point. Then if you got, especially if you got to put, use the QR code and forget about it.
I have my mom's car on my app. And she'll call me when she's at certain spots. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. And you'll just pay it for her. Yeah.
Do you know what I didn't know in Boston? If you have a sticker for, say, Southie, you can park at a meter without paying it.
Did not know that.
Huh.
So if you're a resident, even if you're at a meter, you don't have to feed the meter.
Oh.
Really?
So if you go to Southie, if you're from, you have a Southie sticker and you go to the seaport,
yep,
it's still Southie, and you park at a meter, you can stay and you don't have to feed the meter.
Wow.
This is Rob. You know. Rob from Bristol, Rhode Island. Hey, Rob.
Hey, don't bust Greg's chops. I seen a Gen Zer saying, hey, Siri, pay the parking meter. hey, I got my nephew a job. I hand him a shovel, and he uses the handle. I thought he was busting my chops.
No.
I'm like, are you serious? You don't know the pointy end goes down?
Wait a minute. You're there's no way. He used the handle of it to
I
try
swear to God.
I'd believe that.
The pointy shovel, he put the handle in the ground. I'm like, dude, what are you doing, bro? Like,
I believe that 100%. It's like old people who, you know, you put them in front of the computer and they start touching the screen. Like, why is this thing moving? And it's like, you got to use
or
the mouse.
Or on FaceTime.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Oh, my God. FaceTime with my mom is like.
They have the camera right up to their face.
I mean, it's every couple days with James. And it's like, she's still. I'm like, mom, all he sees is your forehead.
See?
She's like, why does he want to talk? I'm like, because you're scaring him.
More like a five head.
Yeah, he's like, oh, can we talk to the giant forehead person?
He's like,
again?
Where's Nana?
All right. Well, anyway, that was my lead this morning.
It's a good one.
Researchers have discovered that 25% of Gen Zers do not know how to change a light bulb.
Wow.
You know what, though? Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd rather be dumb and nice than angry old man who knows how to change a light bulb.
Okay.
You know what? Life gets so much easier when you say, I don't know everything. I am dumb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
You embrace it. Embrace the dumb.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a shirt for you.
Right.
We should do that.
Sure.
Embrace the dumb.
Nobody knows everything.
It worked for Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get to They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, and that includes Micah Parson and the emotions that he is feeling after losing his head coach, among other things. So we'll get to that coming up right now. Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins beat the Lightning 6-2 after the Bees jumped out to an early 2-0 lead and didn't let up. The goals came from everyone in this game. Pasta and Zacha walked away with a goal and two assists, while Jeremy Swayman was in goal. He had 43 saves in the win. The Bees are off now till Saturday, while the Celtics are in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Tip tonight is at 7:30. We talked about Mike Tomlin yesterday and whether or not he'll be out in Pittsburgh after the Steelers lost to the Ravens last weekend. When asked for his message to any team that might be interested in possibly trading for him, he said, quote, "I have no message. Save your time."
Boy, I hope that Bills-Ravens game this weekend lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
I feel like that is going to be a fantastic football game.
Yeah, it should. I mean, both because you have two of, you know, the best quarterbacks in the NFL playing against each other. So I think they'll both be ready and come to play, and they both know how much is on the line, not just for their teams, but their kind of like reputations of where they fall in the world of the NFL.
And you have basically no matter what, you're going to get either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson against Mahomes in the AFC Championship because the Chiefs are going to be in the Texans.
Yeah,
you know, no chance that there's a CJ Stroud upset.
No, unfortunately.
I think the only way you get a CJ Stroud upset is if the Houston Texans defense plays out of their minds.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Well, looking for a fast, convenient family meal that everyone will love, you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's original crispy chicken tender family meal deal. Each meal serves up to five people and comes with a salad and sides to share. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Feels like 11 right now. Freezing out there. Afternoon high in the 20s.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, the news with Courtney and youth basketball coach on youth basketball parent rage leads to violence in Connecticut.
among other news stories today. So we will get to all of that coming up. And by the way, congratulations are in order for my old pal and Wiggy's old teammate, Ted Johnson, who it was announced yesterday is joining the afternoon show here at WEEI. Yes, Shime, in the afternoon, WEEI afternoons. And Teddy J said if we wanted, we could reach out and get him on at some point this morning and say welcome back.
So, talk about one of the hottest.
Or welcome here.
Talk about one of the hottest hitters in the NFL, Ted Johnson.
All time?
I mean, he's right up there. Hitting him was like you wondered, like, really, dude? Do you got like a cinder block in your helmet?
Remember when he tried to tackle, I think it was Jerome Bettis, with one arm, and his bicep rolled right up in front of all of us.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
He was a...
The injury video, I ranked that right up there with Joe Theismann when it comes to the worst things that one can see while attending an NFL football game.
He was the originator. Like, when you think of, like, Mike linebackers and that would just come up and take on fullbacks or pulling guards.
Cam Newton has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of guys that probably don't, but he was... He was a hard hitter. He was like, damn.
I don't know him, and I've never seen him in person. He still looks yoked.
Yeah.
Like, watching clips from yesterday, he's...
Same. All right.
Those are the good old days. I remember Katzenmoyer, too.
Oh, my God. Katzenmoyer.
I got to send that photo that... Did Ken send it in the group message of back in the day you were in some, like, TV show about food, drinking wine? You looked kind of... I mean, you got a bicep in that photo.
Oh, really?
I got to send it to Mitch.
Please share.
I mean, this was back in the day.
All right. Yeah. She was yoked up.
Yeah, share that out.
On swole.
Yeah.
I suffer, when it comes to Ted Johnson, I suffer severe neck envy.
Yeah. He's got a giant neck.
Similar, weight composition on the neck, but his is way more defined.
Yeah. Right.
I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he was such a hot hitter. Yeah, a giant neck.
So, all right. Well, maybe we'll get Teddy J on the show this morning, but all right. Is that beginning immediately, Curtis? Is that beginning as soon as this afternoon?
I think so.
Excellent.
I'm not.
Okay.
Tuesday. Sorry, next Tuesday.
Oh, next Tuesday. Okay, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, quick back and forth on what was said yesterday. Where would you like to begin this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, I think it's appropriate, since you mentioned the WEEI afternoon program, we begin with a guest of the afternoon program. That would be one Adam Schefter. Schefter will be on actually today at 3:45. And he was on the Pat McAfee program talking about Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolff's relationship and really kind of who's in charge. Here is what Schefter said on the McAfee show.
Patriots GM job potentially.
No.
Elliott Wolff.
Elliott Wolff. Well, I don't even think he's got the GM title, but he's staying in his job, whatever that is. And they're going to bring Ryan Cowden from the Giants, who work with Vrabel in Tennessee. He's going to come in and assist Elliott Wolff underneath Elliott.
Yeah, Wolff is just VP of player personnel.
Yeah. Well, now he's got an assistant VP of player personnel in Ryan Cowden.
So he's not even close to the GM.
So, yeah, but this guy is not Vrabes his boss either. This dude's coming in.
Yeah, to work under him.
So these guys are working for Vrabes.
Yeah, so Vrabes. Yeah.
Is that what's happening? Yeah.
Vrabes is the man.
Hell yeah, he is.
All right. So that's good news.
Yes.
Schefter is hearing that Mike Vrabel will have overall control when it comes to Elliott Wolff and whoever out, Matt Groh and... whoever else is in that personnel department.
Right.
Don't you think it would be beneficial to keep Groh and Wolf, whoever they say to draft a wide receiver, you know not to take?
Oh, 100%. Especially Matt Groh. That guy's a boob.
But the fact that now we know, or at least Schefter's reporting, that if Elliott Wolff comes to Vrabel and says, "Ooh, I like this guy, I think we should, you know, trade whatever, draft this guy, sign him a free agent." Vrabes is the guy who goes, "Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah. I watched enough film on him. I think we should go in this direction."
I heard Jones and Keith talking about it yesterday during their midday show, which comes on after our program every day. And Jones is correct. Like, it is odd how many times, whether it was yesterday with us or over the last couple days, Mike Vrabel has gone out of his way to mention working with Elliot Wolf.
Yeah.
It's almost like somebody told him, hey, there's going to be people that are asking about me. Make sure you say that we're working together.
Right.
He also took a shot at Elliot, though, in his opening press conference when they asked what kind of players you want, and he goes, good players. And then he started laughing. He's like, yeah, it's just a joke between me and Elliot. Because clearly he told Elliot, this roster sticks.
What did you think of that opening press conference? You haven't been here for a couple days.
Solid. I thought Mike Vrabel does. I think Mike Vrabel is very good in front of the media because he's extremely personable. He's easy to like, and he is a really smart football guy.
Did you notice anything different about it when comparing it to the Gerard Mayo opening press conference?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel isn't scared of anything or anyone. He'll answer any question at any time. Doesn't matter. He's not afraid to mention Bill Belichick. I thought that was a name that he is not going to dance around, and he doesn't care.
Anything else when it came to the structure of the Gerard Mayo press conference and the structure of the Mike Vrabel press conference that anybody else noticed, or is it just me?
No, I know what you're talking about. It was football, football, football.
Nope.
Is that what we're talking about?
Where was Robert Kraft during the Gerard Mayo press conference?
Next to him.
The entirety of it.
Oh, he was next to him. And this one, he was at like the podium by himself.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So leader, what do you got? What,
leader of... Leader of men.
So your read is like, beat it, buddy. You go sit down there
and
let me do what I do.
Yes.
Versus.
Right? Encouraging.
Well, like, it's less collaborative.
Yeah?
No, it is.
From the jump.
It's funny that people keep saying that, though. Like, I feel like it's more collaborative. I think the way Vrabel is going to run this is he is going to have his hands in everything, which therefore makes it more collaborative, whereas Gerard Mayo kept everything so segmented in an attempt to not be Bill Belichick that it wasn't actually collaborative.
Yeah, but I don't think that was on to Mayo's doing. I think it was like, all right, Mayo, you focus on this, we'll take care of this other stuff. Now it's kind of flipped back to what it used to be, where one guy has veto power in everything, and that one guy is the head coach.
Yeah.
And it used to be like that.
As it should be.
Listen, I got no issues with that at all. You know, it's very difficult. See, the hard thing about, you know, and what usually has teams fall when it comes to the GM and the head coach, a lot of times is you try to insert two guys that are alphas that are not really on the same page and want to do it their way. When you have two guys, like one guy, like Vrabel brings in the guy from the Giants, that's his guy.
Right.
So his guy is not going to buck the system too much.
I mean, I don't think Elliot Wolf is an alpha. He goes to Starbucks. all right, what's next?
What the hell does that mean?
That's a direct shot at Curtis. Anyways, Micah Parsons was not thrilled with the departure of Mike McCarthy, but he's looking forward. Here was Micah Parsons on his podcast, because there's not enough of those, talking about how the Cowboys fired Mike McCarthy and how the team will move forward. Here was Micah Parsons.
Obviously very sad because the relationships, you know, we had with Coach McCarthy and everything he's done for our program, three straight 12-5 seasons, playoff appearances, and obviously an unfortunate year due to injuries and things like that. But it is devastating. You know, Coach Mike's a great father coach, one of the most winningest coaches. And, you know, he's always been good to us as a unit, us to coaches, players. So, you know, losing a great coach like Mike hurts, but you know, due to the free agents, the coaching, you know, it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging offseason. But listen, I trust my owner. I trust our GM. I trust Will McClay that we're going to make the right decision. We don't know who's getting what. It's been a lot of speculations. Former players mentioned, like Primetime, Witten. But at the end of the day, you know, speculation. Because it's going to be a complete reset.
Dak Prescott was texting a reporter in Dallas, very similar things where those guys felt, it seemed like they really liked him, and it seemed like they felt like they let him down.
Yeah. That was a Marshan cap right there. I don't know if, remember we played the audio of Micah Parsons earlier in the season going, you know what? I don't really feel bad for Mike McCarthy. He'll land on his feet somewhere else. I feel bad for, I think it was Zach Martin, the offensive lineman. when he was like, it's going to be a lot harder for him to get another job. So, and I
Mike
and
McCarthy when, is going to land on his feet, though. He's right. going to get a job immediately.
But that's what Mike. It seems like he might get the Bears job.
Bears, yeah.
Right. And, but that's what Mike Apostles was saying.
When all they, coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for this guy. Was like Zach Martin.
Where it's almost like, and we talked about this with the Marchand thing. How many times did he like, Coach Mike is such a great guy. We love Coach Mike. He's a great father. Coach Mike does everything well. There's pictures of me and Coach Mike at his, you know, his daughter's 16th birthday. You could like when you
think he's saying too much.
Yeah, he's just being politically correct, you know?
All right, what's anything else, Sean?
Yeah, I got another one for you here. Jim Gray and Bill Belichick on the Let's Go podcast were chatting about the current state of the NFL coaching searches and the hiring process. And Jim Gray, for one, seems to be outraged that Bill Belichick is not being approached enough. Here was Jim Gray and Bill Belichick.
I know you're going to have some reluctance in this, but how are all of these people just not knocking down to get the greatest coach in the history of the game, the greatest winner in the history of the game, and they don't even want to talk to him? They don't even get a signal or a message to you? It's inexplicable. How do you internalize this?
Yeah, well, Jim, I'm not worried about what anybody else is or isn't doing. I'm focused on Carolina and Tar Heels and making the 25 team there in Carolina as good as we can make it and build the program.
Yeah.
To a high level and compete in the ACC, so I can't worry about what everybody else is or isn't doing.
It just seems crazy to me that this could occur. I mean, I know you're and look, they're using against you for the recruiting, all the speculation, the buyout, the whole deal.
I don't know if you heard it 5 minutes later, but Mike Lombardi burst in the door and said, "Yeah, what he said. Yeah, what Bill said."
It is interesting that they haven't hired anybody that's not familial.
Yeah, I mean, there's people.
Well, they
are,
hired Freddie Kitchens, didn't they?
There well, was I mean, like people that have no options.
There was a report yesterday. The report was that people were concerned they hadn't hired anybody.
Yeah, they hired the kid. I believe his name is Andrew Hawkins. Right. He worked with Steve Belichick at UW.
And then Lombardi is immediately like, "We're hiring who we want to hire,
right.
And we're in lockstep. And don't you worry about it. Like what that guy?
Right?
He's the new Bears.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. This is a Brady thing.
Does he
thing,
understand
though.
That though, or does he think he's the actual GM?
No.
He has a book. Called Gridiron Genius.
Yeah.
That was not sarcastic.
I think he knows where his loyalty lies. This is a Brady situation, though, in my opinion. Bill's one and done in UNC. And let's be honest. He's going to do 1 year there, and if they have a good year, which I think people expect, like in a good year in college football, let's say he wins 8 games, he's going back to the NFL. Then I think teams will be knocking down his
door. So then who? Steve is going to take
over? I mean, I don't know who the hell is going to coach at UNC, but...
Well, I think that he's doing this to set Steve up.
Like, maybe I think, he is.
And so is that going to be a year or
no,
I think
he's
it'll
one
be more?
And done.
There was one setup, and that was Jim Gray's question. I'm not kidding.
Oh, you're probably right about that.
We all know the status of what goes on with McAfee. It's the same thing. This is Brady's podcast. He's not going to go on there and be asked things he doesn't want. I'm sure he's, you know, if he is getting paid, it's not anything meaningful. The fact that that was the question and was asked in that way was not by accident.
All right, that's They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. We will get to Courtney and the news and a little youth basketball rage from Connecticut coming up next.
It's time for...
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
The news.
The Gulf of America. What a beautiful name. And it's appropriate.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Something is up in the ocean right now.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
It really shouldn't have a big fishy smell.
On WEEI.
We're going to start with yesterday's congressional confirmation hearing for Pete Hegseth. It got pretty fiery. There were some protesters there that thought that he supports the war in Gaza.
Uh-huh. He is being considered for Secretary of Defense.
Yes, Donald Trump named him as his choice back in November. And Democratic senators were mostly criticizing Hegseth and that choice. And then Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen stood up for him, saying that he's seen members of Congress vote drunk all the time. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
The senator from Virginia starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce for cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No, but it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy because a man's made a mistake.
They're like, wait a minute, he said that part out loud.
Right, hold on.
Shoot.
Hold on a second.
The lion of the Senate, I think, never voted sober.
There was a light moment, if you will, between Hegseth responding to Senator Elizabeth Warren, our senator, in her criticism that unfortunately missed the mark.
Okay.
Here's that.
In other words, you're quite sure that every general who serves should not go directly into the defense industry for 10 years. But you're not willing to make that same pledge?
I'm not a general, Senator.
You'll be the one, let us just be clear, in charge of the generals.
Could she just go away? Oh. Honestly. Oh. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know what, you guys, you, the majority of you here in our state, continue to vote for her.
That's so it.
You must feel like she's doing a good job.
That is it.
But, okay.
Let's have a beer. Yes.
The price of my favorite.
By the way, the fact that she is busting somebody's balls about wanting to, in the future, make money is rich. And pun intended.
Isn't her net worth like
she's worth millions and millions of dollars. She was making $400,000 to teach one course at Harvard.
But you're forgetting the best part. While ripping the high cost of college education.
Jesus, $400,000.
All right, what's next?
The price of my favorite beverage, a crisp Diet Coke, there's truly nothing better, is going up if the city council gets their way here in Boston. They proposed a tax on sugary drinks, saying that the money on unhealthy beverages can be put to good use.
Wow. I have so much to say about it. Do we have audio?
We do have audio.
Okay, go ahead.
We can hear from city councilor Sharon Durkin on BZ.
This is a good idea, no matter the economic situation that we're in, because what it does is it creates an environment where we are discouraging the use of something that we know over time causes cancer, causes diet-related diseases, causes obesity, and other diet-related illnesses.
Wait, not your job, lady.
Nope.
This drives me nuts when it comes to those that are elected in this country. It is not your job to create a tax to discourage people from using their free will to enjoy a beverage or drive a vehicle or whatever you think is behavior you don't want them to do. It's right. Not your job to tax them into oblivion thinking that they're not going to do it.
So right. This isn't a bit? This is real?
No, that's real.
No, Boston,
because this was this was literally a Parks and Rec episode. Amy Poehler tried to start a soda tax in Pawnee, Indiana, and now they're doing it in real life?
They are. It's been done in, I think, New York.
Philly.
Did it.
Philly and Seattle are the two big ones.
Leave people alone, my Lord. And the money, ma'am, is not going to go to supporting people who are fighting obesity or whatever you say it's going to go. It's not going to that.
But if
you
really...
You can't balance a budget because you're giving all the money away to causes that you think are important that have nothing to do with running a city. And so you're going to use this money. When somebody wants to go get themselves a Dr. Pepper, they're going to have to pay more for it. You're going to use that money to pay the bills that you can't pay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So if the government was really serious about this, why do EBT cards allow you to buy the products they're looking to get rid of?
It's just none of your business.
But don't you think if the government really wanted to shift behavior, they could do it that way?
It's not their job to shift behavior. It's not their job to think for you. Mm-mm. If you want to have a soda,
it's on you.
You want to, in my case, if I want to chew a little skull, it is It's my decision to make.
Yep.
My body, my choice.
Right. And you know the consequences that potentially come with that.
I do know the consequences. Right. I think we all do.
Right.
I think those who enjoy a good soda pop every once in a while know that it might not be the best thing for them.
Oh, but it's so good.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
God. All right. And that's going to be only in the city of Boston.
Correct.
All right. Can you drive across the border and get your soda pop for a cheaper price?
For sure.
Okay, like drive over into Chelsea or, yeah. Or whatever.
Is there any evidence of this working anywhere?
No, they
said actually in Philly and Seattle, the sales for soda pop went down 33%.
But do they know that they didn't leave that city and buy it elsewhere?
Right.
Right.
That's a good thing for the poor convenience store people, like
right.
some dude whose family has owned a convenience store for 50 years
right. Right.
trying to make ends meet.
And, can't even sell his cream soda no more.
Yeah, right.
Love cream soda.
Ooh, like an orange.
We have got to take a break, but we will be back with the rest of the news, including an unfortunate incident in Connecticut, youth basketball coach on youth basketball parent rage.